Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, we have so much to look forward to in the Lord Jesus. And oh my, you know it's going to come one of these moments. It's going to be so worth it all when we see Jesus and realize all these testing times on this earth are over. The trials, the afflictions, the pain, the unknowns, the confusion, all the things that sometimes cause us to wonder. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be over, folks. Praise the Lord. It's going to be over. We're going to see our King. Oh, we will forever be in His presence. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful to be here tonight. Oh, thank God for what He has done. He has done great things, wonderful things. You know, I'm so glad we could commit all things to the Lord. I know He hears and He answers prayer. And I've heard Him, I've seen Him, oh my, I've seen Him do wonderful things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again for such an opportunity. Oh, God, we just thank You that we could open up Your Word and know, God, that You will speak to us, Lord. Oh, God, that You'll show us what we need to see and know and hear. Oh, Lord God, oh, Lord, we are so thankful that Your eyes are upon us, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, that You just gently entreat us and, oh, God, urge us to get to that higher ground, Lord. Oh, God, there's always more of You, Lord. Oh, God, there's always places beyond. Oh, God, there's so much to see and comprehend in Your Word. Oh, God, I pray that You'd open it up to us tonight. I pray that You'd talk to us tonight. I pray that You'd help us to see things that we never saw before, Lord. Oh, God, and that we would get to that higher ground, those greater depths in Thee, Lord. Oh, God, that place where You'd have us to be, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd prepare our hearts and that You'd talk to us. Oh, God, that we would be acceptable in Thy sight. Oh, God, that we would finish, oh, God, our walk here on this earth, oh, Lord, that those things that You, oh, God, have ordained for us to accomplish. I just pray, oh, Lord, that You'd move in us. God, You know every need, every burden. Oh, God, every trial, every test. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd give us faith here tonight. I pray that You would lift the heavy spirits, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd give us joy. I pray that You'd give us peace, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You'd give us victory in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us now as we open up Thy Word. Oh, God, that You'd reveal to us the things that we need to see, oh, God, and know, oh, God, and hear from Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we know we could do nothing without You, Lord. Oh, God, we're just dust of this earth. But here we are, Lord. Oh, God, we're so privileged. You called us to this place, Lord. You called us, oh, God, that we might sit in heavenly places with You, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that we might have these little tastes of heaven, Lord, while we yet walk this earth. And I pray, oh, Lord, that You would talk to us. Oh, God, again, that You deliver in a mighty way tonight. Oh, God, that You save to the uttermost. Oh, God, that You draw us all nigh unto You, Lord. Oh, God, You know, oh, God, what needs to happen in our lives as individuals. Oh, God, You know, oh, God. Oh, God, every struggle, every tear, every test, oh, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh, Lord, that You would move tonight, Lord. Give faith, Lord Jesus. You are a God who can do the impossibilities of our minds, oh, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, You could go beyond, oh God, what we could ever ask or think, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. Oh God, I pray that You'd use me. I pray that You'd give me the words. Oh God, I pray that You'd open up the scriptures as they need to be here tonight. And oh God, that it would go forward as Thou would ordain, Lord Jesus. Help us all as individuals, Lord, for all striving to enter in, Lord, to be more like You, Jesus. Oh God, to have victory. over the world, over the flesh, over the devil, Lord, to be overcomers. Oh God, give thou strength to your people, Lord. Give thou faith to your people, Lord. Oh God, take us into those heavenly places with you, Lord. And oh God, help us as we come and dine and feast on thy word. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the devil be rebuked. Let him have no place here. Give us victory in our hearts, oh God. Oh, lift up the heavy-hearted. Do a work, I pray, Jesus. And I ask that you give us faith to believe you in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Oh, he's faithful. He's faithful. Praise the Lord. We can trust our God. Amen. We can stand on his promises. We can stand on his promises. Amen. He's mighty. He's great. There's nothing too hard for him. Oh, yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God, and he changes not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, yes, it's time to get our eyes on the Lord. Off this world, off the troubles, off the afflictions. I mean, you know our God knows how to take care of it all. Thank the Lord. He knows. He knows how to change the things that need to be changed. And yes, those things that we've committed unto him against that day, praise the Lord, they're in his hands. Praise the Lord. They've been forgiven. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we can walk in peace and we can walk in victory. Praise the Lord, because our God is with us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, this message that I have here tonight, God gave it to me a few weeks ago. I jotted it down in one of my little books and some of the details that he shared with me back then. And you know, it just seemed like today was the day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call this message, "And God Saw Their Works." Amen. I know we live in a time where there's a lot of people that advocate this easy believism, you know, and you just think, you know, just believing on the Lord is, you know, adequate to make it into heaven. And often with that easy believism, there isn't a conviction of sin and getting right and, oh my, turning away from the things of the world. And a lot of things aren't considered. So often just people think they make an initial start for the Lord, and that's fine, you know. There's no thought about that higher ground, you know, that striving for the mastery, oh, becoming like the Lord Jesus. Oh, that overcoming, you know, did you ever think of it? I mean, in heaven, God's people are all overcomers. Yes, God's people have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. You know, that's why we could be an overcomer. If we didn't have struggles, if we didn't have battles, we didn't have pain, we didn't have afflictions, I mean, honestly, what would we have to overcome? But praise the Lord. Oh, God knows how to take us through this world. He knows what we need as individuals in order to get, you know, those rough edges off and those false ways of thinking, those old traditions that we once held to. All that folly and all that foolishness and I mean, all the things that, you know, we didn't know better of at one point. Praise the Lord. And that's what this is all about. That's why often we do go through struggles. And yeah, it keeps us down on our knees, doesn't it? Keeps us crying out to the Lord. Amen. Because, yeah, we're striving. Oh, yes, to get on that higher ground. We're striving for the mastery. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so... yes, we must come to the Lord in faith. We have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Indeed, we do. But oh my, there's a lot past that, isn't there? You know, there's some work to be done. I mean, you know, he considers his people his gems. You know, if you look at the book of Malachi, and you know, you realize that, you know, God said that, you know, that his people, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Praise the Lord, you know? But he takes us, you know, that rough piece of rock and whatever, all, you know, and he begins to work on us. Oh, yes, to smooth off the rough edges and to bring, oh, good things into our lives, good qualities and strengths and faith and, oh, you know, positiveness toward the Lord. I mean, I'm talking about faith, things that bring us closer to the Lord. So that one day we'll be in that place where we are those that are his, as he says in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what this life is all about. It's about overcoming. Yes, becoming more like the Lord Jesus so that we can be acceptable in his sight when we stand before him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, yes, you got to go beyond that initial faith. You know, there needs to be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness so we can go on and, oh, yearn for the good things of God. Amen. So that we can become more like the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And although, yes, I plan to be talking about works here tonight, we know that it is not works that bring salvation. I mean, in other words, we can't, you know, come to salvation by our works. We know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No, it wasn't of our own doing, our own making. We didn't earn enough brownie points in order to become the Lord's child. No, he called us when we were worthless. Oh, and we didn't have anything to boast of or to be proud of when we were sinners, when we were out there, oh, serving the devil. But praise the Lord, he called us unto repentance. And he called us into his glorious kingdom. And praise the Lord, as it tells us in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, like I said, he takes us as we are, but oh my, he begins to chip away that crude old rock that we were. Oh, yes, and he begins to make something of our lives, something beautiful, something that will shine, oh, something that will reflect the Lord Jesus so that we can be his gem in that day, his jewel in that day. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship. Praise the Lord. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he takes our emptiness, our worthlessness, and he begins to make something, oh, of value from what we once were. Praise the Lord. So we become his workmanship. And I like that. It says created in Christ Jesus. Yes, because to create is to take something from nothing and make something of it. And you know, that describes what the Lord has done for us. He took us out of our nothingness and created, oh, something of value for his kingdom's sake. And praise the Lord, it says, unto good works. Praise the Lord, because, oh, yes, when our life is wrought in Christ, we want to do good works. Amen. It becomes a part of our nature. Oh, yes, our a way of pleasing the Lord. Oh, yes, a way of growing in the Lord Jesus. And he says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. Good works that are wrought in Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. So he takes us and he begins to work in us and make us what we need to be, so that one day we can stand before him and hear him say, well done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so we can make our calling and election sure by the grace of God. Oh, as that list there in 2 Peter, that first chapter, all the beautiful things that, oh, yes, he does in our lives to reformat us and to make us what we ought to be in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh my, as we walk this earth, it is so important as we come to the Lord that there would be works of repentance. And I'd like to turn now to the Old Testament. I'd like to go to the book of Jonah here. And the Lord showed me something as I was reading it one day not too long ago. And it just really stood out. But let's just go here to Jonah here and just see what the Lord might show us here today, tonight, praise God. It tells us here, if we just look at the very first two verses here of the first chapter of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And I think we're probably pretty familiar with this story of Jonah, but here it is as the Lord saw it. Oh, it seems that the cup of their wickedness had come to the full, and there was a cry that came out. And therefore, there was a great need. There was pending judgment that would be forthcoming unless something changed there in that wicked city of Nineveh. And yes, even historians talk about the great wickedness of the Assyrian people, their very drastic ways of punishment and thinking, very wicked indeed. And we're familiar with this story of Jonah, and we know that God called Jonah to go into Nineveh, but, you know, he didn't want to go, did he? And he rose up to flee unto Tarshish, just the other direction, and thinking that he could flee, it seems, from the presence of the Lord. Going down to Joppa and found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid his fare and got on board thinking that he could flee from the presence of the Lord and not have to go to Nineveh. Oh, trying to get rid of the voice of the Lord, you know? Oh, thank God he speaks to our hearts. Oh, it's that conviction that brings us to the Lord. If he wouldn't have made us aware of our sins, how could we have ever repented? But oh, yes, we know that God dealt with Jonah because, you know, there was a great need. Somebody had to go to Nineveh. Somebody had to warn these people. And I see that as the great fairness of our God. You know, he does pour out judgment at times, yes. But he's also very merciful, and I believe he gives warning. Oh, yes, in many different ways. Oh, sometimes he might use the weather to alert people that if they don't get right, you know, something very drastic is going to happen. Sometimes it might be very hard things, you know, it might be an almost death experience at times that catches somebody and oh my, makes them aware that they need to get right with God. But here it was, there was a great need for these people of Nineveh to be warned because, like it says in verse 2, their wickedness had come up before God. And oh my, it was time to judge it. It was overflowing. It was past the brim. Oh my, and oh my, if something didn't change, it would be poured out without measure. So we know that Jonah tried to escape, and no, he got on that ship, and yes, we know the story, that a great wind arose in the sea and a mighty tempest, and oh, it was so bad that it was like the ship was going to be broken. And those sailors, those mariners were afraid. They all cried out to their gods. Oh, and they even cast out their goods, their wares into the sea with hopes that, oh my, they could be saved. And there was Jonah down in the bottom of the ship sleeping. So strange, isn't it? But anyway, oh my, they awakened him and asked him to call upon his God. And perhaps God would think upon them that they would not perish. And oh my, they even cast lots at that point to try to figure out why that evil had come upon them. And lo and behold, that lot fell upon Jonah. And oh my, they were afraid when they realized Jonah, oh, he was a Hebrew. He feared the Lord. And oh my, he was running away from God. So we know that reluctantly they had to throw him overboard, because Jonah knew that the storm would stop if he was thrown overboard. He knew good and well it was because of his disobedience, his unwillingness to go forth and do what God had asked him to do, that storm had risen. How the Lord chastises those he loves. Isn't that something? That is so amazing. But oh my, yes, they cast him off the ship, threw him into the sea. And we know the story. God caused a great fish to come and swallow up Jonah. And of course, the amazing thing is that when he was cast into the sea, that raging wind stopped and the sea was calm. But anyway, Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. And the second chapter of Jonah tells us how Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it talks about all that experience. How God had dealt with him while he was within that fish's belly. What an experience. What an experience. But I'd like to go now to the third chapter of the book of Jonah, because after that fish cast out Jonah, vomited him out onto the dry land, it tells us in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. A second chance. Isn't that merciful of the Lord? And how it is. God has great patience with us. Sometimes I know it might even be beyond just two times, before he really got our attention and caused us to do the thing that we needed to do. But praise the Lord, after all his experience, what God he had allowed, it tells us in verse 3 that Jonah went forward, this time into Nineveh. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. It would take 3 days to walk throughout that city. As we know, it was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was on the Tigris River and just a very heavily populated city, known as a great city in that time. And so it is, it tells us in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And oh my, I can just, you know, imagine this as he's going down the streets of this city. He's crying and oh, he's repeating it again and again. There's a warning that has to come out. Yes, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Oh, again, you know, they heard it. It echoed all out throughout the streets. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And you know, an amazing thing happened. I mean, sometimes we think that nobody hears us, you know, that there's nobody left to repent, perhaps. And you know, we get discouraged sometimes. But oh my, a very remarkable thing happened. As Jonah walked those streets and uttered those words and cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The amazing thing was that the people of Nineveh believed what Jonah was saying. Amen. Oh yes, and they began, oh, to act. They believed what God had declared through Jonah the prophet. Oh yes, and they knew it was serious. They knew God meant what he said. And if they didn't change their ways, if they did not repent, there was going to be judgment. They were going to be overthrown. They were going to be destroyed. So, praise the Lord, they believed God. It tells us in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Oh my, they all heard it and they all gave heed and oh, they proclaimed a fast. You could just see them gathering together. Oh my, oh, what is Jonah saying? Oh, we better do something. Oh, what can we do? And oh, yes, they proclaimed a fast. Oh, we've got to get right. They took off their attires and put on old sackcloth. From the greatest of them, even to the least of them. No, even the king. Word got to him. Oh, that king of Nineveh. Oh, yes. He forgot about his dignity. Oh, my, because he believed it too. What had been declared by Jonah the prophet. Oh, yes, it came to his ears too. It tells us in verse 6. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And verse 7 tells us, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Oh, yes, they were known for their wickedness, their violence, their meanness. But, oh, my, suddenly this realization came to them. Oh, yes, so they would just cry out to God. Who's to know? Maybe God would have mercy. Maybe God would stop the judgment. Maybe he would hear from heaven. So, yes, that decree came forth. And oh yes, not only a decree to refrain from eating and drinking. No, there was a cry there that they would turn from their wicked ways, their evil ways, from the violence that was in their hands, the things that they were accustomed to doing. In other words, the need to repent, to get right with God. And yes, oh, this question in verse 9, that the king thought possible, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Oh, praise the Lord. It is so beautiful when people will turn their hearts over to the Lord and really repent and get right. I think that is the most beautiful thing, to hear somebody crying out, oh, realizing the depths of sin that they've been in, and oh, the great need to get right with God. Oh, I know there was a remarkable time. I remember many years ago now, man, I think he was sitting in the back seat of our church, and oh my, we never had seen him before. But after the preaching, I remember he began to cry out. He began to cry out to God. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he repented that day. He turned from his evil ways. He renewed his vows with God. And oh, he got right. Praise the Lord. We heard from him later. And oh, yes, I know that there were great changes that came to pass in his life. But oh, it was so beautiful to hear that sound. And oh my, a cry, you know, a remorse, and just a bearing of the heart, crying out to God in repentance, realizing that, oh, things had gone wrong, that he had turned his back on God and he needed to get right. He had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now, oh my, oh, if God would only hear from heaven and save him from his sins. Praise the Lord. So here it was in Nineveh, oh my, this great realization, oh my, that they had been wicked, oh, that violence was in their hands and they needed to get right with God, because otherwise they would be severely judged and overthrown. It would be too late to make a change. And how we need to give heed. Oh, yes. Oh, there's a cry that's going up from the earth. God sees it all. He sees the wickedness. Oh, he knows the hearts. He knows how they have turned into their wicked debaucheries. Oh, all their sinful, willful disobedience. And one day it's going to be too late. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everyone needs a Savior. Everyone needs to come to the Lord. Everyone needs to bow their knee to God. And oh my, how important it is. Oh, that the amends would be made while there is yet time, before this all ends, before God judges this world in his righteous judgment. Oh, yes, he's coming back to this world. And oh, he's not coming back like a teddy bear God. He's coming in wrath. Oh, yes, he has seen every wicked, abominable deed. He knows the hearts of men. Oh, yes, he knows what's going on and all their conniving and all their plans. Oh, yes, their desires and what they have done, how they have shed blood, and oh, how they go forth to do whatever wickedness that they can do to bring about their one world. Oh, he sees it all. Oh, he knows their hearts. And oh my, there is a time when it will be too late. And oh, it's a wonderful thing when there can be a true acknowledgement of sin. And oh, the heart turned to the Lord. And oh, yes, a cry of repentance coming from the heart. Oh, yes, that realization that that life needs to be turned over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that the Lord got my attention. I'm so glad that he changed me when he did. Oh, praise the Lord. How could we ever thank him enough for his mercy and his grace, his faithfulness to us? Oh, the fact that he would call us when we were yet sinners and die for the ungodly. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But here it was at Nineveh, all these very wicked people. Yes, there was much to repent of. But that, you know what? From the king down to the youngest of them all, oh, who had any sense at all, you know, there was a cry of repentance. Praise the Lord, because there was a possibility. Oh, there was hope that maybe if, oh, you know, I can just, you know, turn my life around and get right with God, things will change. And praise the Lord. Verse 10 here in Jonah 3 tells us, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Oh, praise the Lord. Talk about mercy. Oh, yes, when the Lord, oh, yes, despite all the shameful, horrendous things that we have committed as sinners, oh, praise the Lord, his mercy, oh, to forgive us. Oh, yes, to cleanse us, to purify us. Oh, yes, when we come to him in repentance and turn our lives over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, isn't it beautiful? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. You know, it wasn't just lip service. No, that would not have been sufficient. Sometimes people utter words, but it isn't from the heart. And it's, you know, it's not really what they're going to do. And you know, or maybe, you know, the next day it's, you know, they forget. And they go back to their old ways. And, you know, just think maybe, oh my, I just guess I had a strange moment or something. But no, I believe here at Nineveh, it was more than just lip service. I believe they genuinely turned from their evil way. Praise the Lord. And it tells us God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Oh, that's the mercy of our God. And I believe the word repent in this situation here, when it refers to God, it's talking about a reversal, a complete reversal of his former intentions. Actually, God in his all-knowing, I believe that's why he had to have a prophet go there and testify and proclaim judgment, because, you know, God knows it all, doesn't he? He knew that they would repent. And that's God's great mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he's so merciful. I can't help but think here, oh, in the book of Revelation, you know, God, oh, his mercy is so amazing. That second chapter of Revelation, it talks about Jezebel. And you know, when you think of somebody who was so horrendously wicked, yes, Jezebel comes to mind. And here is the church that was at Thyatira is being addressed. You know, tells us in verse 20 here in Revelation chapter 2, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Oh my, she took the people of God and perverted them, and they allowed it. But look at the mercy of God. Look at verse 21. He says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Oh yes, he held out even wicked old Jezebel. He gave her time to repent of her fornication. Well, we think of some of the people in this world, you know. We all know who they are, at least some of them. And you know, we just think, oh my. You know, you almost think that they would never repent. But who's to know? Maybe Bill Hillary Clinton will see the, you know, their great need to bend their knees and turn their lives over to the Lord and literally repent of their wickedness. I don't know. In the case of Jezebel, it tells us, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And it says, and she repented not, sadly. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. You see, judgment is forthcoming, and oh, there is only one recourse. Oh my, if you want to escape that judgment of God, and that recourse is to repent, except they repent of their deeds. Oh, what a need there is. But oh my, if God would look on Nineveh, a place that was known to be so wicked, and give them moments to repent, to send forth a prophet to them so that they might be warned and possibly amend their ways. Oh, praise the Lord, they did it, didn't they? And because of that, God's mercy, when he saw their works, see, they put thoughts to action. Oh, yes, you know, like I said, it wasn't just lip service. They just didn't think, oh, I better get right. Oh, my, I better stop this. No, they obviously really did it. And praise the Lord for it. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Oh, God's mercy. I think of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, the wonderful mercy of God. But oh, yes, there is a need. Oh, yes, before we can be right with God. Oh, it's not just muttering the sinner's prayer and you know, maybe meaning it for the moment. No, there has to be works that follow it. Works of repentance, a life that is changed by the power of God. Oh, there has to be that willingness. Otherwise, it's not going to be sufficient to deliver in the day of God's wrath when he pours out judgment like this world has never seen. Oh, yes. Oh, when he comes forth with great fury. Oh, when he comes forth to judge this world in righteousness, not according to man's ways. Oh, my, according to his own righteous judgment. Oh, we better fall in line with his concepts, with his word, with his ways. We better get right with God while we still can. Amen. Praise our God. In Matthew, the third chapter, we read of John the Baptist. And of course, we know that he was that voice in the wilderness that cried, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We know that the people came out to him, oh, from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan. And it says, confessing their sins. You see, there had to be an acknowledgement of sins before they could be baptized. But verse 7 here in Matthew 3 tells us, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, O you snakes, O you vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oh, yes, because I don't believe their reason for coming was genuine. It, you know, they thought they were pretty good as they were, obviously. And they might have fooled a lot of people. But God sees the heart, doesn't he? And oh, yes, he discerns way down deep the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he gave John that ability to discern also. And oh, when they came to him, to his baptism, he cried, oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then they were told very clearly in verse 8 here, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, there had to be works of repentance, oh, that were appropriate or meet before they could be baptized. There had to be signs that they were turning from their wicked ways and getting right with God. So yes, he said it clearly, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Oh yes, there had to be repentance before they could be baptized. And he went on to say in verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Oh, our pedigree isn't going to save us. Just because, they had that background, that didn't mean that they were automatically right with God. No, that wasn't a cover, for all their sins, by no means. So it was vain for them to just say, we have Abraham to our father. Oh my, it seems like that mentality still continues in many ways. But that is not sufficient to bring one to God. And that is not fruit meats for repentance. That isn't what saves you. And John said in verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Even then, you can see this word picture. You can see the axe. It's laid to the root of the tree. And if, oh yes, those fruits of repentance do not come forth, then that tree is going to be axed down. It's going to be cut down. Oh yes, that time of judgment is forthcoming. And even then, as John began his ministry, he's saying, even now, the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. And he said, therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Oh my, how we need to get right with God. Oh yes, repentance was required before they could be baptized of John the Baptist in the waters of baptism there unto repentance. Jesus talked about the need for repentance too. We just go to Luke the 13th chapter here for a little bit. It tells of some details here that were current at those times. It was told Jesus that of the Galileans, there were some that Pilate had done this very despicable thing. He had mingled their blood with their sacrifices. Talk about abominable and icky and awful. And, Jesus heard of that. But he was going to bring out a point here. In verse 2 here in Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus asked a question there when he heard of this incident where, Pilate had done this deplorable thing. It tells us, or it asks here in verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans are sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? In other words, were these the worst of the worst and that's why it happened to them? No, there's a point that needed to be made here. Jesus said in verse 3 here in Luke the 13th chapter, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he gave another example here and asked the question again. Verse 4, of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt at Jerusalem? You know, it must have been pretty bad, you know, that thinking, you know, terrible things happen to terrible people. They had to be the worst of sinners before this would happen, you know, but Jesus is asking this question. Oh, there were 18 that were in that tower of Siloam when it fell and they were killed. And did that make them sinners above all others that dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus said in verse 5 to answer this, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, yes, there was an emphasis on repentance, a turning away from one's sin, one's old lifestyles, oh, getting right with God, oh my. Going the other direction. Oh, there was such a need, and oh, yes, Jesus declared it and showed it in so many ways. I think, too, of the story of Zacchaeus there in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke also illustrates this point. For here in Luke, the 19th chapter, we have Jesus entering and passing through Jericho. And we know this story also, I imagine. And here it is. There's a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. But, you know, there was something in this man's heart, you know, despite his background and all what he had done in the past. Isn't it wonderful how God can stir a heart, even somebody who's been pretty nasty most of their lives, and oh my, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, so what can we say? But, you know, here's this man who was chief among the publicans, the tax collectors, in other words. And yes, he was rich, but it was in his heart to see Jesus. Verse 3 tells us, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. So we see this, oh, this little man, and oh, it's in his heart, I've got to see Jesus. I've just got to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And I can't, oh, I'm too short. I can't see above all the other heads. Oh, I just want to see Jesus. So anyway, it came to him. Oh, he was going to do something so he'd be high enough so he could see Jesus. Verse 4 tells us, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Oh, praise the Lord. So he climbed up into a tree, a sycamore tree. Oh, yes, so I'll be higher than all those heads. I want to see Jesus. He's going to pass this way. Oh, how the Lord knows it all. Verse 5 tells us, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad the Lord sees that hunger and thirst. Oh, he knows our needs even before we ask. Oh, praise the Lord. And he knows, oh, when, oh, there's that desperate cry within, and oh, we want to see Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to know what we must do to be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. It was in this man's heart, and Jesus knew it. Oh, he came to that place. Maybe nobody else was aware of the little man that had climbed up into the sycamore tree, but Jesus knew he was there. He came to that place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Oh, here's this little man. Oh, Jesus heard me. Oh, my, Jesus wants to come to my house. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, believe he was ready to repent. Oh, he wanted to make things right. Oh, praise the Lord, it was deep within him. Oh, the others saw it, and oh, they began to murmur, and oh my, now what has this Jesus done? Oh, talk about a sinner. The Zacchaeus is a sinner. Oh, and so it tells us in verse 7, and when they saw it, the multitude, the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. But, you know, Jesus came to save sinners, right? That's why he came to this world, to seek and to save them that are lost. He couldn't call the righteous to repentance, you know, because they didn't think they needed to repent. So how could he call them? You know, they were goody-goodies, you know? They didn't know or admit that they had sin in their life and they needed to get right. So my, how could Jesus help them? But here's a man, oh my, yes, he was ready to get right with God, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Praise the Lord. Oh, there was a conversation that day, and maybe not all that much had to be said, because I believe Zacchaeus was already convicted in his heart and he wanted to get right with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Sometimes people want to get right and they just don't know how. They might not know the Word of God. They might not have somebody to tell them. But oh, what a day it is when somebody opens up the Word of God and shares the glad tidings, and oh, and lets them to know that, oh my, there is a way that you can get right with God. Oh, there is salvation available for those that will turn their hearts over to the living God. And it tells us in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Spirit working in his heart to convict him of the sin. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when the world begins to lose its power within a human being. And oh, we just get to that place where all we want to do is pour it out to God and get right with God. Get rid of those sins. And oh, yes, obey the Word of God in order to do so. Oh, what a moment. That was a beautiful moment. And Jesus said unto him in verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, praise the Lord, the reason Jesus came to this world. Oh, yes, to find those, oh, that would acknowledge their sin and get right with God. Amen. Oh, allow that conviction to stir to their innermost being so that they could turn from their wicked ways. Oh, what a moment when God got a hold of our hearts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm turning to Luke, the 6th chapter here for a moment. Very end of this chapter, verse 46. Another question that Jesus asked. He says in verse 46, or he asks in verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see, there's got to be works of repentance. It just can't be words. And so Jesus told this story to exemplify that fact. Oh, yes, you just can't utter the words. No, you have to put faith to action. There have to be works. Oh, yes, to demonstrate, oh, what you are doing, what is in your heart. Oh, yes, that need to be changed. Yes, that need to repent. So Jesus told this parable. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And notice these three steps here. Verse 47, you know, first of all, the coming to him, the coming to the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, hearing his sayings. But see, you know, you can't stop there, can you? No, and he says, and doeth them. Oh, yes, it has to go beyond, you know, just coming to him and hearing what the Word of God says. There has to be a willingness to submit, to surrender, to do those things. Amen. So he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Oh, praise the Lord, the rock Christ Jesus. Oh, his words. Oh, yes, his salvation. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, that man. Oh, he's not going to just have a shallow, you know, relationship with the Lord. No, this is a pearl of great price that we're talking about. Oh, this is a treasure in the field that's worth everything that we could possibly ever have in this world. Oh, yes, these are treasures beyond this world. And so, yes, when we find all the living Word of God, oh, when it comes to us, oh, we want to be like that man which built a house. He dug down. Oh, yes, until he could lay that foundation on a rock. Oh, yes, the Word of God. Oh, yes, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, that foundation that he hath laid, that, oh, yes, none can alter or change. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and if that is the case, then when those floods arise, all the trials, all the testing of this world, even persecution, oh, all the hardships, all the mockeries, all the scorn, oh, my, all the things that are going to arise in one's life, those floods, and even though the stream beats vehemently, oh, with great strength, very vigorously, very intensely, that man's house could not be shaken because it was founded upon a rock. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's how we want our lives to be, anchored in Christ Jesus. Oh, digging down deep until, yes, we found it. We found that pearl of great price. And, oh, we're going to give heed. We're going to do everything we know to do to attain that salvation that the Lord Jesus offers. But verse 49 tells us here in Luke, the 6th chapter, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Oh, yes, how we need to dig deep. Oh, and make sure that our life is laid upon the precepts of God's Word. Oh, yes, that foundation that none other can lay, but all that which has been laid by Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we've got to have works. Oh, yes, that show, oh, that we are anchored in the Lord Jesus. Oh, that we have repented of our sins, and oh, that our greatest desire is to serve the Lord Jesus. Oh, that willingness to obey the gospel. You know, in Acts, the 2nd chapter, Peter brought forth the glorious gospel. Praise the Lord. after the Holy Ghost was poured out and all, they saw the power from on high being demonstrated with all great strength. Oh, praise the Lord. Those people began to wonder, didn't they? Oh, yes, as Peter began to preach, something wonderful happened within their being. Oh, they had been among those, or there were those that had been, you know, participants in the crucifixion. Oh, that they had been those that had participated in that event there where the multitude cried, "Crucify him." Oh, they had blood on their hands. They had denied Jesus Christ, and oh my, they had brought him up before the determinate council and allowed him to be taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Oh my, but here they are, assembled there on the day of Pentecost, seeing the changes that God brought forth when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And oh, praise the Lord, the demonstration of God's power was there in a mighty way, as oh yes, they were all speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And oh yes, those that were gathered together could hear them declaring in their own native tongues the wonderful works of God. Praise the Lord, the Lord working in a mighty way. Oh, yes, Peter preached that day, and conviction began, oh, to work in their hearts. Oh, yes, and they were drawn, oh, yes, and convicted of their sins. And what a moment that was. Peter had preached, and they had heard it, and told them to their face, that the one that they had crucified was now both Lord and Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he had now sent forth that wonderful promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. But they were pricked in their hearts. It tells us in Acts, the second chapter, verse 37, when they heard this, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Oh, Peter didn't waste any words. No, he declared the wonderful plan of God. Oh, yes, it was revealed at that moment, the expectations that would bring forth salvation. He told them what they must do. Peter had the keys, and there it was. He was opening the door to salvation there on the day of Pentecost. And this is what he said, Acts 2, verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then, oh, praise the Lord, he said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us then, with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for those moments as the gospel came forth. Oh, for the first time. Oh, yes. There. Oh, the declaration of, oh, what God expects. Oh, yes. Oh, for all those that would heed the plan of salvation, that need to repent. Oh, yes, to turn from one's wicked ways, to do an about face. Oh, yes, to change. Oh, yes, to let the Lord work in your heart. And then to obey that command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to take his name on in the waters of baptism. And it says, for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. So, oh, those sins. Oh, are done away with. There's no more remembrance of them. There is no more penalty for those sins. They are remitted in those waters of baptism. And praise the Lord, that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how the Lord Jesus comes into our lives. Oh, yes. Oh, to give us power over sin. Oh, yes. Power to witness. Power to overcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. The gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful it wasn't just for them at that moment. It wasn't only for that occasion. No, that plan of salvation, oh, echoes throughout the ages. It is the same at this moment as it was on the day of Pentecost. It has not been altered. It has not been changed. Oh, the need is as great as it ever was. That need to repent, to turn in about face, to get right with God, to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a need there is. God saw the works of those at Nineveh when they turned from their wicked ways, when they fully repented. Oh, yes, when they got right. God saw their works. What a moment that was. Oh, he repented of evil that he had proposed to do unto them. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, he turned from that because they were willing to repent. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all sinners. Oh, my, it's only the mercy of God that convicts us of our sin so that we can turn to the living God and get right. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing when, oh, yes, we become aware of our a great need to turn to the living God. And there it is, that moment when we can repent of our sins and turn from our evil ways and get right with God, then going forth to obey that command to be baptized in his name, all with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. He tells us in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, praise the Lord. There was a price over our heads. We were all under condemnation. But Jesus Christ came to this world to pay that price for our sins, that those that would believe upon him and come to him in repentance and in faith, oh my, and turn around their lives to the living God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that they could be forgiven, that condemnation, oh, would no longer be over their heads. Oh, yes, but they, oh, could instead be heirs of eternal life. Praise the Lord. That's a great love for our Lord Jesus. So while we are yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. And oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God has made a way that we can all come to him. Even yet, even now, he's still standing at the door. He's still wanting you to let him in. Oh, he's wanting you to turn from your evil, wicked ways, your past, your sins, to acknowledge them and come to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He is so gracious. He is so faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we will turn to Him. And praise the Lord, just as He saw the works of those Nineveh people who'd been so wicked and despicable. Oh, He sees our works too. He knows, oh yes, when we truly turn to the living God and surrender our hearts and lives over to Him, repent from our deeds and obey His call to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and I hope to be a recipient of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. God saw their works, and He sees us yet here today. Amen. And He's waiting. Oh, yes, He's watching. And oh, yes, it is high time to wake it out of sleep and to obey that command and to get right with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Talk to our hearts and help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 323 and sing Just As I Am, 323. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.